Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good friend Sean Orford.
Hi, everybody. Hi, how are you, Ed? You good?
Very well, yeah. Very well, yeah. It's my favourite time of the week now.
It's my favourite time of the week.
Have a bit of fun and chat.
And the coffee's great.
Yeah, I'm sure you're all used to the format by now, guys. We're going to talk a little bit about what we've been up to this week, some exciting things about what's been in the news. And then we're going to move on to our weekly topic, which we're going to be talking a bit about the work that we're doing. But it's got, you know, implications for everyone out there and why it's important to live in the present.
Yep.
So, yeah, this should be interesting. If you could leave a review for us, I know we say this each week, on iTunes, that would be fantastic. All 5-star reviews will get a mention on the show. We're going to start mentioning them real soon. But let's dive in, Sean. What have you been up to this week?
Well, apart from coming to your dear lady wife's birthday party, which
indeed
was an extraordinary event in itself. I've never seen so many cakes in my life.
We've still got a lot downstairs, actually.
Yeah, I've got to take some home with me. I'm putting on weight just thinking about it.
You can't have any. There is.
Rest of my weekend has been about ripping out my office and having a sort out. And there's several things in that for me. Part of it is trying to go paperless. And that was interesting because I ended up with 3 dustbin bags full of shredded paper.
Yep. And all recycled, of course.
Yes, all recycled. Recycled.
Deeper.
And the other thing in that is I'm preparing the space. I'm trying to open the space up because I'm moving into recording mode. So I'm going to be recording all the audios of the books that we've done. And as well as the blogs, several people have said to me, not least of all a blind client, why don't you do the blogs that you do as audios? And I think that's very relevant. So that's something that I'd like us to be building in over the next few months.
That's another job to put on the list.
Another Ed job.
Yes,
good, I like that.
No, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. Cool, yeah, and you mentioned the party, so that's been a big part of my week. My wife turned 30, last week. A good excuse for me to focus on, you know, someone else, and it was good fun helping prepare. I kind of outsourced quite a bit of the work in the sense that I got all the food ready, the barbecue food, but I kind of called in a few favours from friends and family, which is good fun.
So why is the barbecue food a man thing? Because all the men were around the fire.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Underneath the gazebo with the rain.
It's a very kind of primitive fire and food stuff.
No, no, hands off, that was my domain. I don't know. Yeah, we'll look at that one week perhaps, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, Sean's wife made probably the booziest tiramisu I've ever tasted. It was fantastic, though.
And it's famous. You have to be breathalyzed.
My father-in-law is just nuts about that
dessert.
And now also my son is as well. Because I found out that he was giving spoonfuls of tiramisu. So 18 months old and he's hooked on it already, yeah. So the future's bright. Blimey.
Yeah.
What's been in the news this week, Sean, that's caught your eye?
The big one in Britain is the Ian Brady issue. Ian Brady, Moore's murderer, with his partner Myra Hindley, killed several children and buried the bodies up on Saddleworth Moor long, long time ago. And this guy's been in prison forever. Myra Hindley has died in prison. And Ian Brady wants to die. He wants to be given the right to die. He was given a life sentence, which meant a life sentence, so he's detained, which in Britain we call detained at Her Majesty's pleasure, which means he will never come out again, really. And he wants, at the moment, he's in criminal psychiatry, and he wants to be classed as a genuine prisoner rather than a psychiatric prisoner, so that he would have the right to starve himself to death. At the moment, he's being force-fed. And it's a big debate in Britain, should we allow this person to die? And the thing for me in that is the guy is a narcissist. He's a psychopathic narcissist, and he's being given the platform to perform in narcissistic ways.
You've dealt with people like this before, right?
Yeah, I've worked in the prison service, and I've met lots of people who are Ian Brady-ish. To me, the issue about whether we kill people or don't kill people, or whether we incarcerate people for their entire natural life, is a huge human debate which has many angles on it. If you're a victim of someone like that, you don't want them to be alive. If you're a humanist and you think everybody should be alive, then we keep people alive at crazy odds. But then we lock someone up in a little box and we keep them in there for year after year after year, and we call ourselves human. I don't know. It's a huge debate, but it raises lots and lots of issues. Lots of people around me are talking about it. It's
over the news. In fact, a bit of feedback that I had from a friend about this podcast is that he's kind of listening to it and loving it, but he's kind of shouting. He wanted to talk to us and engage, and obviously the way we're talking, we can't really have it live debate, which we'd love to.
One way
we can do it is there's a comment section below the show notes. So if you've got anything to say out there about this case, and I'm sure you do, leave us a little comment there and we'll respond and maybe get a bit of conversation going that way. A lot of people would not care one iota if he was to be with us no more. But at the same time, people are fascinated by him, aren't they? You know, he wouldn't be all over the news unless we were really interested in this guy.
But news is bad news. News is always about bad things. We don't get news about good things. Mm. So this plays into the darker part of human psychology.
Yeah.
Our fascination with us, like horror movies.
But let's move on to our topic of the week, Sean. You probably will have realised by now that our website is liveinthepresent.co.uk. So we're going to talk about why it's important to live in the present. I remember when we were trying to pick our name for the company, I can't remember what the other ideas were, but Live in the Present stood out there, didn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of sums up what we do, in the sense that when you're working with people, Sean, you're trying to get them to that state of living in the moment, not worrying about the future, not worrying about the past, but just enjoying right now.
Yeah.
And it's quite a fashionable, trendy thing, I guess, being mindful as well.
Yeah, mindful is the buzzword. Mindful used to be a word that it came from Buddhism and was related to meditation, but these days mindfulness is a mainline psychological, therapeutic idea, set of therapists, really.
Well, yeah, do you want to talk a bit more about the kind of the science behind living in the present and mindfulness?
Well, I think that there are several things in that. There is the psychological bit, which is about when I'm living in the present and I'm not focused on the past or the future, I'm actually productive. One of the things I was saying to Ed before we went on air was about the amount of clients that I see that are at a point of retirement and they're in a confused state, trying to wonder what their life was all about. And the problem that they had was they weren't living the moment of their life. They were either attached to the past, which they couldn't let go, or they were worried about the future. So they weren't actually living their life. They were always outside of their own time zone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really, really important thing. It isn't the destination that is good, it's the journey. It's a bit of a cliche, that. But if you enjoy the journey, the destination is even better. But if your eyes are always focused on the destination, you miss the views as you're going along.
Yeah.
Yeah, so either people are looking back to where they've come from or looking forward to where they might want to be, and they're just missing the moment. And everything happens in the moment. One of the things that Ed and I were identifying earlier was that as personality types, one of the reasons that we work well together is that my focus about living in the present tends to be on internalization. So my ways of living in the present are to do meditation, are to play music, actually physically play an instrument, play music. But they're all internal processes, whereas Ed's world is much more external. Ed wants to climb mountains and ride go-karts and stuff like that. So it's a different kind of way of living in the present. So one of the things that I was saying was that perhaps we should look at it in terms of, like, where is your zone? Forget about the idea of mindfulness in terms of meditative stuff, but what is it that gets you in your zone of being in the present?
Yeah.
So where's your zones?
Well, yeah, not like you say, my zone's quite out there. I try to get into meditation, but it's just, I guess I haven't given it that much effort, but I think it's because I'm not that interested in getting into that side of things. And I don't know, what is the definition of meditation, or to be meditative?
Well, the process of meditation are about learning not to think. And in that sense, your mind is always thinking, but you learn to become the observer of your mind and to not go with it. so that in a process of meditation, you start off with relaxation, then you go to contemplation, concentration, and meditation. It's like a process. And very often when people do meditation, they only get as far as the relaxation bit, and then it takes them a while to get to the next point where they can contemplate something. Then when you get to concentration, you're focusing on one thing. Yeah. And when you get to meditation, effectively you've ceased to exist. It's almost like a self-annihilation, a little death, you've gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, three times in life where we experience that state of non-being. One is in orgasm, which in French is actually known as petit mort, a little death.
Mm-hmm.
When you sneeze, same effect. You can't. Sneezing is the only legitimate excuse for crashing a car, really, because you can't be in control of the car. Yeah, you can't be in control of the car while you're sneezing. the other one is meditation. So there are three main events in life where we go beyond ourselves.
Are you allowed to crash your car while meditating, then you can get away with it?
No, or having an orgasm. you can get away with that.
dear me, yeah. Well, I guess if I think about things when I'm most living in the present, yeah, like you say, go-karting, driving fast, I'm just focusing on that next corner.
And if you don't, then you could be dead, I guess.
Yeah, well, actually, I was out at the weekend. We were doing a bit of a session, and it's a bit of a cobbled together thing, our little machine. And coming up to turn one after the main straight, I hit the brakes and nothing happened.
Made you live in the present.
They caught a little bit, but for some reason I don't know. I'm not that mechanically minded. We got it back in the pits, and there was an issue, but I managed to avoid the tyres and take it around the grass. But that was like, wow. I was focused on just not having a big accident.
Yeah. One of the weird things psychologically, physiologically, is that when you go into an accident, people talk about how the world slows down. Everything goes into slow motion.
Mm.
Actually, it's the reverse. What's happened is that you've speeded up so fast that everything appears so slow, that your reactions and your responses are so amazingly fast that the world appears to be going by very, very slowly.
Wow.
Yeah, time stayed the same, you speeded up.
So there are a million and one ways that a person can live in the present.
Yeah.
You know, mountaineering, race driving for me. I guess from my point of view in the company, living in the present, yeah, I've tried to steer things away from that hairy-fairy meditation type
stuff,
thing which is out there, which is cool. And if meditation is your thing, then go for it.
Hmm.
But I guess the important thing is for a person to find what it is that... how they get in the zone, right?
When in the East, in Ayurvedic psychology, that eventually became things like we'd see as yoga over here, they identified 8 different paths that were how an individual could live in the present. They were called yogas or yogis. If you have karma yoga, it's about action. It's living in the physical world. Hatha yoga is about group energy and living in a group situation. Gyan yoga is philosophy. Bhakti yoga is emotional service. Mantra yoga is cognitive control.
Yep.
Raja yoga is the meditative one. That's the intuitive bit. And Tantra is the science of the imagination. And if you did all of them, then you were known as Ashtanga or integral.
Wow.
So that idea that you don't have to meditate to live in the present has been there forever.
Okay.
But just different personality types, different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when someone comes into your consulting room and their end goal is to, they may not know it, but it's to live in the present and find their zone, do you immediately kind of push them down the path of meditation? Or?
No. In fact, that misconception has come into the consulting room. I was working with a guy in one of the hospitals who was a physical worker, and there was no way he could sit down for an hour with me in an office. I mean, the guy couldn't even sit down and watch the telly. He was that kind of physically driven. So what we would do is we would meet once a week, and we'd jog round a local park twice, and twice round the park was an hour session. And all the time we were jogging, he could talk. And whilst he was in motion, he could deal with his issues. If I got him to stop, his whole emotional world would stop as well. So in motion, he was great. So and many therapists would say, but that's not counselling. If you jogging around the park, it is. It's to do with being relevant to the person.
Yeah, it's got to be tailored, hasn't it?
Yeah, and for him, the idea of meditation would have been a total utter joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the running and the jogging, he's in the zone. He's in his zone.
I'm trying to think of ways that where people are really, really in the zone, like, to almost to an extreme extent. I mean, Formula One drivers, for me, that's the cool one, because they're like driving at 200 miles an hour for like an hour and a half. It's just ridiculous, the amount of concentration that takes. Yeah. Also thinking on, I don't know, let's say bullfighting. That's one where you've got you've got to really focus.
Yes, take your eye off the bull.
I mean, there's a lot of sports I'm mentioning here. Something like, I've been watching a film last night, The Fighter, Christian Bale, right. Mark Wahlberg, boxing movie. Yep. True story, I think, or based on a true story. But boxers also, they're the one. I mean, you've got to, if you don't focus 100% on what's in front of you.
But at the party at the weekend, we ate lots of cake. And that cake, all the ones I was eating, was very light. It was a light sponge, that kind of stuff. And that's the same thing. If you don't work with your mixture as you're making a sponge and make it light, it comes out like a brick. So you actually have to be in the present if you're making a cake or you're making bread.
Mm.
Yeah, and as soon as you come away from the present and you're worrying about the past or the future, you end up mucking up your present. That's the important thing.
Wow.
Live in the now. Whether you're making a cake... If you go around an art gallery and you watch people, I'm a people watcher, then you'll see some people that are just kind of wandering by and just grabbing a bit of pictures. And then you get somebody who's focused on a picture and they're living in the picture. They're taking the picture apart into minute bits. They're getting into the detail.
Cool.
Yeah, and they're focusing into the zone of the picture, as opposed to it's just something that's flowing by.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that with my little lad when I'm reading him a story, actually, because some of the storybooks are really, you know, the images in them aren't all that interesting, but there's one, I think it's called Peepo. This is how in-depth we're going. But the illustrations are really, really detailed, and he's 18 months today, actually. Hey.
Yeah.
But really detailed illustrations, and he loves scanning around that image and looking for different things, and I can point to tiny little things in the corner of the picture. Like, it might be a little mouse in the corner or something. Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes life can pass you by if you don't stop and focus. And that's what it's about, right, isn't it? It's about...
Have you seen the Where's Wally books? Have you got...
Of course.
So if you think about a Where's Wally book, and somewhere in that picture is a Wally, yeah, and you have to actually be in the present moment in those images to find Wally.
Yeah.
If your mind's wandering all over the pages, then you don't find him. You have to be more precise about how you get it.
Maybe you need to bring some Where's on your shelf of intellectual philosophy.
Some Where's Wally books,
Where's Wally into the into your meeting.
Where's Wally therapy?
I'll lend you Peepo as well.
Yeah, okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, you'd like that. I think some of your clients might like that. I'm not sure. I like it. I've got written down on my list here like some extreme forms of living in the present which perhaps aren't so healthy, like self-harming.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that you must deal with. And...
Yeah, there's lots of people... I used to work in a self-harm unit in psychiatry, and the clients in there were people who were in a lot of emotional pain. And that emotional pain very often related to past issues that happened to them. And they had a need to be in their present to be free of the pain, of the emotional pain of the past. And the easiest way for many of them to overcome that was to hurt themselves in the present, because the physical pain of hurting themselves made them focus.
Wow.
So they could...
And I guess that also then applies to things like drug abuse and even alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
Going out for a big night out with your pals.
Yeah.
And... focusing so much on the moment and just necking a load of booze.
Yeah.
But that's, like, long-term, obviously not a great idea.
No. If you... you were talking about sport earlier on. If you look at any of the interviews with Eddie Izzard when he was doing a marathon day after day after day...
Yeah, he actually... Well, he went through not far from here, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, I didn't see him, but he was within about a mile of here, I think.
Yeah. But if you listen to him talking, he was talking about the pain of running and how the pain becomes a focus point, because he was losing toenails and all sorts as he was running.
Yeah.
And that pain is something that goes beyond a physical pain and becomes a point of focus.
Mm.
Yeah, lots of people that have extreme pain talk about it. It goes beyond... something that hurts into something which is just sensation as they learn to focus on it. rather than resist it. It becomes painful when you resist it, and it just becomes another sensation. It could be heat, or it could be an itch or a tickle or something once you start to focus on it.
I get that when I'm climbing mountains and doing that kind of thing. You know, when I've been up a serious mountain in the Alps, you kind of, when you set off from the hut or whatever, you know, from base camp, you have this first 5 minutes when you start climbing, where your heart rate's starting to pick up, and you can, well, it doesn't matter how few layers you've got on, you're too hot, even if it's like minus 10 wind chill or whatever, you've got to just get all your coat off. And then after 5-10 minutes, your heart rate just kind of starts to level out a bit, and you don't feel it anymore, almost. The pain comes on the way down when your knees start to grind. Oh my goodness! But again, you get into the rhythm of it. So getting into the rhythm of that.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Yeah, I think that's a really good example. There are lots of things that in one situation we would label pain, in another situation we just label part of what we're doing. You know, perhaps someone's knees crunching like your knees coming down the mountain, if they're walking down the high street, is complaining that they've got some kind of arthritic knee and hobbling, whereas for you, you can see it as a part of the process.
Yeah.
But pain in both cases makes us focus on the present.
It does, and speaking of living in the present, then writing the book "Living the Present," Sean, as you did a couple of years ago, and we published it last year. It's quite a set out. There's a formula for the book for each chapter.
Yeah,
a process.
Yeah,
how was that writing that? How did you go about?
It comes from working with clients, and then there was the course that we all ran, which led to the book, and a lot of good experience working with several hundred people in the course. The issue about people that are focused on the past is depression. People that are focused on the future is anxiety. But in either states of anxiety or depression, because you're not in the present, you can't change anything. The only time you can change something is right now, this minute. So that the first part of that program and the first part of the book is, okay, how do you get into the present to create what you want? So the book and the course was set out as 10 specific steps or tasks that you have to complete to let go of what was, stop worrying about what will be, establish a base in the present, and then create what you want out of your life.
Yep.
And that's it. It's about creating fulfillment by learning to be in the present.
Okay, I mean, the book's listed with quotes that I've kind of, you know, tried my best to make look pretty and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them is, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. I like that one.
Yeah, but that's the very thing we're talking about, isn't it? It's like, if you focus on the same sensation, is it the pain of growing and process and changing, or is it a suffering?
Yeah. Okay, I'm just flicking through now on the website of some of the cool stuff. We put a disclaimer in at the start, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think that was my idea, that one.
Yeah.
I'd read that many self-help books. I was just starting to feel a bit like, how can we differentiate ourselves? But the fact is that most people, or it's not the book that's the key, is it? Almost, it's the person, obviously, and just the fact of that you buy a self-help book. Hopefully, you might even think about buying ours, but it doesn't necessarily mean that change is going to come to you, right?
It certainly won't come if you don't read it. That's certainly true, and it certainly won't come if you don't do the exercises that are suggested in the book. I mean, they're there for a reason, because we know they work, because we've done them with thousands of people, really.
Yeah.
But yes, change only happens when you do something, and you have to do it in the now. You can't do it in the past. You can't do it in the future. It has to be now. But maybe we should do one of these sessions on procrastination, because so many people that I work with are so good at it. They're skilled in procrastination, which is why they don't change.
Yeah.
And procrastination very often is about, well, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, okay. It's not in the now. Got to be in the now.
True. Yeah. And you work in hospitals as well, obviously, and with people who are kind of coming to the end, aren't they? And
I guess the other kind of people I work a lot with are people like the A&E workers, the emergency room stuff, where you have to be in the present then. If you're with somebody who is, if you don't attend to their needs in the moment, they're going to be dead.
Yeah.
You have to be very aware diagnostically and therapeutically to get that person back to health. And as soon as you drift off, the person's dead. Yeah?
That's pretty another extreme end of the...
Yeah. And a huge pressure and responsibility for the individual practitioner.
Yeah. Well, a pal of mine, a good pal, is an orthopaedic surgeon as well.
Yep.
So he's one, you know, one false move.
Yeah. And look, no leg.
Yeah, real. We're actually talking about that, actually, at the party. Once people start to filter out. Some people like to talk to him and delve deeper into the work that he does because it's not your standard day job.
Yep.
And then it gets to the gruesome end of things about how, you know, okay, have you ever hacked someone's leg off? And he just kind of calmly says, yeah, did that last week. Okay. For more information, check out the website livingthepresent.co.uk. Lots more weekly blogs all about living in the present. We'd love to hear how you live in the present as well. There's obviously, like I say, a million and one ways that a person can live in the present. Let us know in the comments of the show notes for this podcast. And maybe one day further down the line we can get some people on and feature them.
I'd love to. It'd be a really good idea.
And get some advice because we haven't got all the answers, right?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Book or resource of the week, Sean? What are you going to talk about for...
I'm going to do a bit of trumpet blowing because we're talking about living the present, and that's our website and our company. There's two recordings I want to flag up. One is called Relax and Let Go. You can get it on the site. And it's about being able to relax your body enough to get into the present. So there's a deep relaxation. A lot of people use that one for sleep, which is okay. It doesn't matter if you nod off before you hear the end of it, because the bit of your brain it wants is going to be hearing it anyway. And the other one is a recording called The Beach, which is going to go up, which is about how do you create an internal safe place that you can go to when you're feeling anxious or worried, and you can go there and find calmness within.
And that's new to me, that one.
It's something that I use a lot with clients, and Reed's always saying to me, can you run me off a copy of The Beach? So I think we should put it up on the...
We should.
On the site, yeah.
I mean, is that... Because the Relax and Let Go, you've been using that for 20-odd years?
Yeah.
You still hear the crackling of the...
The weird thing about that is, and the thing I was talking about earlier on, about certain keys and recordings create certain emotional effects and colours in the mind. I found with that original recording, is so effective. I've tried doing digital versions of it, and they don't work in the same way. So whatever it is about that recording, there's something in it that works well.
Mm.
So it crackles a bit. And actually, if you listen carefully, you can hear the cars going by in the street.
Wow.
You can, if you listen very carefully. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So, real world.
My resource of the week, I'm actually going to talk about a film, which I know I get a bit going on. I start to go on about motor racing, but there's a film called Senna, which is a documentary about, funnily enough, Ayrton Senna, the Brazilian Formula One driver.
Is he the guy that burnt his ear?
That's Niki Lauda.
Oh, right, OK. Yep.
That's actually... There's a film about him due out in the summer.
All right, there you go.
But this is a documentary. Just tells the story of his life, basically. But amazing character. I mean, the thing I like about motor racing and drivers is that this just seems to be a bit more about your average race driver than other sportsmen, let's say footballers, for example. Just because they're not just race drivers, but they've got to have a lot of knowledge about mechanics and the engineering side of things, so they're smart guys. Ayrton Senna's a really sharp guy, and he led an amazing life, which was sadly cut short when, well, his brakes failed on a corner, or something, a part of his car failed, and he wasn't as lucky as I was last week. And he just went ploughed straight into a wall. Amazing guy, just completely focused on one thing, and that was on racing. So I'll put a link up to that in the show notes. But whether you like sports, motorsport or not, you'll love it. If you haven't seen it, Sean,
I shall
lend you the DVD.
I will.
Because it's spectacular. So that wraps things up for the week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Last mention for the website, I promise, livingthepresent.co.uk. You can get the show notes for today's and previous episodes, where we'll link to things that we've talked about today. Yeah, you can follow us both on Twitter, at Edward Lamb, at Sean Orford, and Living the Present is at LITP Now, where we tweet interesting things, you know, on an almost daily basis. Again, find all that information via our website. If you could leave us a review for today's show, that would be amazing on iTunes. Head over to iTunes and leave a review. All feedback gratefully received, good or bad. And that's it. Next week we're going to be talking about cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
Whether, well, the rise and rise of it, because it's, yeah, seems to, well, it's not everywhere. I haven't had anything done yet. How about you?
I thought you looked so good.
There's a few wrinkles creeping in now.
You know, you're supposed to say to me, no, and I can see you don't need it.
Maybe you've had a load of work done and I just can't tell. But yeah, cosmetic surgery next week, and kind of, I want to branch out into makeup in general.
Yeah, 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 I think it's the whole deal.
Why do we change ourselves, I'd say.
Yeah.
But, so that's next week. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great week.
You take care. Bye now.